That's kind of what we do a lot of times in junior church. And you know, I've really asked the Lord over the last years to really give me a love for those students. Because I want them to know that I love them. Why? So they can find out what God has for them, and then maybe they'll realize how much God loves them. And I want them to know that. I praise the Lord that we have a pastor that loves us. Isn't that wonderful? I praise the Lord that he really has our best interest in mind. And what he preaches the truth of the word. There are many churches around the United States, around the world, they have a pastor that gets in the pulpit, and I'm here to tell you, they do not give the truth. That's a true story. But I praise God that doesn't happen at Harvest. All right, so my wife says I'm terrible at telling jokes. So I'm going to start off with something very serious tonight, okay? Money. It can buy a house, but not a home. It can buy a bed, but not sleep. It can buy a clock, but not time. It can buy you a book, but not knowledge. Money. It can buy you position, but not respect. It can buy you medicine, but not health. It can buy you blood, but not life. So you see, money isn't everything, and it often causes pain and suffering. I tell you this because I am your friend. And as your friend, I want to take away your pain and suffering tonight. So send me all your money and I'll suffer for you. Cash only, please. Isn't that terrible? That is just pathetic, I tell you what. All right, turn to Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 7 through 14. And we're going to talk very quickly tonight, Paul, missionary, mentor, example. I figure with missions conference coming up shortly, we would take just a few minutes to learn some lessons and examples from arguably one of the greatest missionaries to ever walk the face of the earth, the Apostle Paul. So he's writing to the church of Philippi, and he says right here in Philippians 3, starting in verse 7, okay? But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Now say those two words with me nice and loud. Ready? My Lord. Now, not all of you said it. Some of you are still looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Here we go. Ready? One more time. My Lord. For whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, I cannot prove this. This is just my thought, okay? You've heard of sound doctrine. This might be some shady doctrine here in a moment. Now, the Apostle Paul talked about his thorn in the flesh. Some say it was eyesight. Some say that maybe it could have been the Sadducees or false believers tearing them down. I am wondering, my mind's eye, just my thought, if the thorn in his flesh were the people that followed him. Who was he before he was Paul? He was Saul. What did he do? He persecuted the church. He killed people. He put people in prison. I've often wondered if people followed him and said, liar, my mom, my dad are still in prison. You killed my husband. Liar. Remember, not everybody believed he was truly a convert. And I wondered if year after year, time after time, he would be confronted and say, you killed my husband. You killed my father. You killed my son. You killed my daughter. I wonder that. Just because God forgave him, beloved, doesn't mean everybody did. And I've wondered about that. I wonder if that was a thorn in his flesh. What does that have to do with tonight's message? My question is, what are your thorn in your flesh? What's bothering you? we can get help tonight. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's hard to find a man more influential than the Apostle Paul. He was a great example to all of us. Under the inspiration of God, he told Timothy, who was pastor in Ephesus, to be an example of the believers. And I'm telling you what, Paul practiced what he preached. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." That's a good laundry list that all of us should take to heart and work on. Amen. So here we go. Point number one. Write it down now. We're going to look at notes afterwards. And we'll give away points for those who take away the best notes, okay? So here we go. Point number one. We can follow Paul's example when it comes to his beliefs. We can follow his example. Philippians chapter 1, 7 and 8 says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus," say it with me, "my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." Beloved, I'm here to tell you the Apostle Paul knew what it was like to suffer. He knew what it was like. He suffered greatly. Greatly. And he says right away, "my Lord." He called Jesus my Lord. Paul believed in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed in the sinless life that Jesus lived. He believed in the death. He believed in the burial. He believed in the resurrection. He believed in the future coming of Christ. Now, you may not understand that statement, but you have to understand, beloved, the gospel of Christ is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Not every person who claims to be a Christian believes that. Not every church that claims that they're a Bible-preaching church believes that. There are churches tonight. There are churches this morning. There'll be churches this week. They won't preach that. I'm here to tell you, that is the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a personal question? Don't answer out loud. Is he your Lord? I didn't say Savior. You say, "Well, David, I'm saved." That's not what I asked. Is he your Lord? Lord means he's number one in your life. Lord means there is nobody else. Lord means he's in control. Beloved, I love you, but is he in control of your life tonight? Uh-oh, is he in control of your pocketbook? We're going to talk about missions. We might as well get the elephant in the room. Here he is. Whatever noises elephants make, you know, trumpet thing, whatever. I was going to do an elephant sound, but it'd been really bad, so we won't do that. We're going to talk about finances. You might as well be ready for it. You might as well just take off your shoes, get comfortable. You know why? It's all God's anyways. Amen. Is he your Lord tonight? We got a lot of people, they want the gummy bears and lollipops of the gospel, but they don't want the heavy stuff. When it comes to my Lord, let's not get radical about this stuff. Speaking of radical, my wife, I'm trying to exercise and get better. And I said, you know, and I'm trying to watch what I eat. And she says, "David, I tell you what, Share-a-thon coming up. Don't talk about the dessert so much." And you know what I said? Now let's not get radical now. I said, "Now let's not get radical here." You know, beloved, we have a lot of people. They want church. They want to sing the hymns. They want a cushy little message. But they really don't want a Lord. You know, Paul talked about the importance of doctrine. Now, letter A, his belief in salvation was correct. He told the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." He told Paul, pastored in Crete. Or Paul told Titus, excuse me, pastored in Crete. Titus 3, 5, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Again, we see that our good works cannot save us from sin. Beloved, let's make sure we understand that doctrine and hold fast to it. Because you're going to meet people, if you ask the Lord, "Send someone my way to witness to," guess what he's going to do? He's going to send someone your way. You be ready. You be ready. Don't be mean. Don't be hateful. But if they say, "Well, you know, I was baptized." Hey, I'm glad you were baptized. But are you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for him alone for salvation? You know, I'm a good person. I'm sure you are a good person. But are you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ only as your personal Savior? You have to make people believe that. Because a lot of people I talk to today, they're Christians. I'm a good person. I'm going to heaven. Not everyone's going to heaven. Make sure you hold to that doctrine. We could believe in Paul's teachings, letter B, about separation. Paul was correct in that. Paul believed in living a separated life. He told the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 6:15 through 18, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore," "come out from among them, and be ye" what? "Separate." See, we get this confusion that the devil's got to knock on our door. "Hey, I'm here to ruin your life today." That's not what the devil does. He just tries to slide on in. Let's just bring a little bit of bad stuff with the good, and we'll call it all good. It's not good. If the devil's in it, it's wicked. And any party he brings in is wicked. And there's churches today, they want to have a little bit of this and just a little bit of that. And they're trying to bring it on down. That's not how it works.
That's right.
Beloved, remember, a separated life. Well, David, what does separated look like? You talk to God and you ask him, and I promise he'll tell you. He's not the author of confusion. He wants to be your friend. He wants to walk with you. Some people ask me sometimes on the radio, controversial things. David, what should I do? My answer is always the same. You know what it is? Ask God, he'll tell you. Now, if it's thus saith the Lord, there's nothing to pray about. And we just stop praying about those things. Should I read my Bible? Stop praying, read your Bible. God already told you to do that. Should I be thankful? Stop praying and be thankful. Just be thankful. God already told you to do that. Should I go to church? Stop praying about going to church. Go to church. God already talked about doing that. Should I give? Stop praying about giving. Well, missions. But give anyways, because what? I'm supposed to give. There's some things there's nothing to pray about. Just do it. God said it, do it. And being separated is one of them. Remember our liberty in Christ. So how do I live? How I walk? How I dress? Where I go? Are you ready? It does matter.
Amen.
It does matter. It's not a works-based salvation. That would be legalism. It's not as live as I want. That is a license. It's a what? It's living, loving, walking with the Lord. And we can follow Paul's example.
Amen.
We can follow it. We can let us see his examples and beliefs on Christian service was correct. You talk about someone you'd want in your church, it's the Apostle Paul. What a worker he was. What a giver he was. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul lived this life and said, come on, Christians, it's reasonable. Let's live for him. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness. Letter D, we can trust Paul because his beliefs in the Bible were correct. Beloved, where are you at with the Bible tonight? When was the last time you read your Bible? When was the last time you meditated on your Bible? When was the last time you had focus time in your Bible? Without a doubt, most of the time, my daddy told me, when somebody was struggling in their Christian walk, guess what they were not doing, class? Anybody want to guess? We'll give away 10,000 points right now. Anybody want to guess? Weren't reading their Bible. It's all, you know, I'm saying, when we start breaking down life, you know what? Sometimes it's not as complicated as we make it.
Right.
Well, you know, I've not been going to church, and I've not been reading my Bible, and I've not been thankful, and I've not been witnessing, and I've not been praying. And we wonder why we're struggling. Are there struggles in life? Oh, yeah, believe me, I know. There are. But when you're reading your Bible, when you're praying, when you're going to church, when you're being thankful, when you're witnessing, God helps you through those trials. He does. The word of God is profitable for doctrine. This teaches what is right. For reproof, this teaches what is wrong. For correction, this teaches how to get right. Instruction, this teaches how to stay right. Praise God for the Bible. Amen. Amen. So point number one, we can follow Paul's example when it comes to his beliefs. I don't know, Dave. I'm looking for direction. Start reading the prison epistles. That's a great place to start.
Right.
All right, point number two. We can follow Paul's example when it comes to his desires. I'll read that again because I know that this is just going to go crazy on Facebook and tons of people want to write this down. So here we go. We can follow Paul's example when it comes to his desires. First, we see that Paul said Christ was my Lord. Once again, I ask you, is he your Lord tonight? And secondly, we can see Paul in Philippians 3:10. He says, that I may know him. What was Paul's greatest desire in life? To know God.
Amen.
To know God. A lot of people say, hey, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm afraid while they may know about God, few people actually know God. Think about, was it Enoch? What was he famous for? Let's see, he killed the Goliath, correct?
No.
Hold on here. Hold on, what did he do? I remember he parted the Red Sea, correct?
No.
Walked on water? No. Invented the donut? No. No, what, hold on, well, it'll come to me. He healed the lepers. What did he do? He walked with God. Imagine that. He took up, and I'm not trying to be irreverent, space in the Bible, and he what? He walked with God. You know, beloved, what if that was said about you? Man, he just walked with God. He just walked with God. Beloved, is your desire to know the Lord? What is your desire? What's your heart's desire? To walk with God. The Bible teaches us if we'll delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll place our heart and desires that he wants us to have. Psalms 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Paul's desires to know God were real. They were proven by his devotion and dedication to Christ. Many say they want to know God, but they're unwilling to get to know him on God's terms. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. And what? The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Letter A, to know God through the power of his resurrection. Many believe that there was a man named Jesus. Many believe that he was a good man. Many believe that he was even crucified. What's the difference? They just can't get themselves to believe that he came up out of that grave. That's what separates the unsaved from the saved. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. It's in the history books. I even believe in God. But do you believe that Jesus rose from the grave? Do you believe it? Paul believed it. Letter B, to know God through the fellowships of his suffering. Boy, Paul knew what it was like to suffer, did he not? Turn to 2 Corinthians and look, chapter 11 and following, all the sufferings that Paul went through. You know, Pastor Holmes, when we were in quarantine, we were listening to him, and I think he said something about Miller's being out of Lucky Charms, and that was my bad day for the day. You know, we get that way, don't we? I get all bent out of shape when I go to Speedway, and their pay at the gas pump isn't working. I'm having a bad day. I got to stop and try to guess how much I got to put on the credit card, and they say it's going to put it back. And I always got this greasy look, like, you really going to put it back on my credit card? Because everybody knows that, you know, you want to steal from me, right? And I think that gives me a bad day. I get caught by a train. That's it. I'm having a bad day. And I wonder if Paul was like, David, you need to take a big chill pill. Because I can tell you what a bad day is like.
Right.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that probably no one in here has been beaten for their faith. I'm talking physically beaten. Probably not, okay? Anybody here been in shipwrecked and hung out in the sea for 3 or 4 days? Anybody? Nobody? Drew, raise your hand, okay? Besides Drew, anybody else? not trying to be cute. I'm just trying to say we need a reality check, do we not? We need what Brother Marl says, a checkup from the neck up. Because sometimes I get all mad, I'm all ticked off, and I'm having a rotten day because I go to get my granola in the morning and there's no almond milk. I'm having a rough day. It's actually pretty good. You should try it, especially the vanilla kind. We're so spoiled in America, are we not? We are spoiled rotten. We're spoiled. Paul says, I want to know him and the fellowship through the sufferings of Christ. I count it profitable for me. I'm worthy to be suffered for him. Beloved, do you want to suffer for Christ? I understand. Nobody wants pain, but a true faith that's not tested, guess what? It's not a true faith. Let us see to know him, to be made conformable unto his death. Here's the debate around the wire castle. People say this all the time. Who does Travis look like? Who does Lucas look like? Is he a Lewis or is he a Wyrick? Who do they look like? And everybody has a different opinion. Some say Travis looks like the Wyricks. Some say Travis looks like the Lewises. Some say Lucas looks like the Wyricks. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay? We'll take a quick poll here. Ready? Here we go. Who thinks Lucas looks like the Lewises? Raise your hand. Okay? Several. Who thinks Lucas looks like the Wyricks? Bless his heart. Okay, ready? Travis? Is Travis a Wyrick? Is Travis a Lewis? Wow. Well, when they act out. Just kidding. If I told you what a wonderful person you are. 24 years. Next month. She's talking about special crowns in heaven. Amen. You know, I wonder what people look at our life, our choices, our reputation. Who do we look like? Is it the world or Christ? I've often thought about that. David, what do people really think about your walk with God? What do they really think about you, David? What is your reputation with the radio? What is it? Around, what do people really think? You talk about discouraging sometimes. 1 Corinthians 15:31, the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Maybe that's something we should do in our life. Follow his example. Galatians 2:20, he told church of Galatia, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Colossians 3:3, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Our desire should be to know Christ. To make him our Lord. To know Christ. All right, so point number one. We can follow Paul's example when it comes to his beliefs. Point number two, we can follow Paul's example when it comes to his desires. Point number three, we can follow Paul's example when it comes to his direction. Direction. Pastor Belcher used to have a program on the radio called Direction for Today. I still remember him recording that. He had signs all over, slow down, speak up, pronounce better, all of that. Remember that, Pastor Belcher? And it was all in your wife's handwriting. I remember like it was yesterday. That's a joke. That's not really true. Philippians chapter 3, 13 through 14 says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, beloved, can I tell you something? It's not rewarding to live in the past. There's no reward there. Paul was headed in the right direction. Why? Letter A, forgetting the past. Forgetting those things which are behind. You talk about a past that Paul wanted to forget. He knew what it's like to want to forget that past. Could you imagine writing all the epistles and what the devil did to Paul constantly? You murderer. You liar. You've killed people, Stephen. Think about that. Hey, Paul, there's still people in prison right now. Just because you got saved doesn't mean they're released from prison. They're still widow and widowers right now, Paul. He lived with that every day of his life. And Paul says, forget it. Move on. Beloved, I love you tonight. Some of you in here need to forget your past. You need to ask God to forgive you, forsake it, and move on. You ever been to a basketball game and it drives me insane? I've gone berserk on my players' heads. They think they get fouled. It's not called. And they want to stand there and argue with the referee. And then meanwhile, the team goes down and fast breaks and gets a layup. And they're still arguing with the referee. And I've told my ball players many times, I've never been at a game, ever, where the referee is like, whoa, 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 hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up. Now come here. Number 25, get over here. You don't think you fouled the guy? You know what? You're an upstanding young man. You're good looking and you're tall. Tell you what, I'm taking the foul away. Let's go back. Give the ball. Matter of fact, you come here and shoot it. That's not how it works. And guess what? The devil's on us about what we did in our past and mistakes we've made and things we've said and things that we probably didn't do wrong. The devil accuses that we did wrong. And we get in the money grubs and we're not serving him and he's winning. You got to get your head up, ask forgiveness, forsake it, move on and serve him. I'm about to get myself in trouble here. I'm going to do it anyways. Some people get divorced and they just can't get past it. I'm here to tell you the Harvest Baptist Temple would fold like an accordion if it hadn't been for the divorced people that said, you know what? Yeah, I made a mistake. But I'm going to go on now. And what a blessing they've been to this church. I could name names. I won't. I would never embarrass them. Godly, wonderful, humble people that work for the Lord. Because they said, devil, I'm getting past my past. Some of you right now, every time you want to do something, the devil gets on you. And he reminds you. You remind the devil. I just told a young person this today. How do we know when the devil is lying? Every time he opens his mouth. He is the Bible says he's the father of lies. So what you do is you, letter B, you reach for what's next. I got that from Pastor Holmes. Reach for what's next. Reaching forth for those things which are before. Set that goal. God, what do you want me to do? Reach for that goal. Work for that goal. Keep your eye on that goal. And do something for him. Lee Brock, don't you quit. You keep your eye on that goal. You come every Friday night, and you come every Friday night, and you come every Friday night. I promise you, you will see fruit. You will. Stick around. Mrs. Wiesner. Where are you at? There you are. You stay for that. You keep being that principal and you keep working hard and you keep loving those kids. And I promise you, you're going to see some fruit. Amen. Roger, you keep going to England. You keep preaching the gospel. You'll see fruit, brother. Amen. Don't quit. That's right. Forsake the past. Look to the cross. Let's live for Christ. Let's do something for him. Amen. Don't give up. Gene, you keep being faithful. You keep helping out. He comes all the time and sets up tables and chairs. And nobody notices. You keep doing it, brother. Keep living for him. The devil's a liar. He's a liar, beloved. You keep playing those instruments, beloved. You keep doing something for God. You keep living for him. Forsake the past. Forget it. Move on. Sue Thompson volunteers her time all the time, and she's always in the kitchen, and no one ever remembers her, and she doesn't get paid, but she comes out anyways, and she's going to do concessions this week. Larry Peacher, you keep doing the jail too. You can't do it anymore. You know why? Because the devil's a liar. You are making a difference. You are doing something for God. I'm here to tell you, we can do something for God. We can. Look at what he's done already. Look at what he's done. I appreciate Mrs. Mammy getting up on that organ. I know you're in pain, and I know you're hurting, but it blesses my soul. Yeah. Let's live for him. Let's work for him.
Amen.
Let's do something. Yes. Robert and Verna, Judy, just keep picking up those bus kids. Amen. Keep going and getting them. Amen. It's making a difference. It's making a difference. Praise God. I better skip ahead. We'll be here till midnight.
Amen.
Let's go all the way to, let's get to point number three. No, point number four. Sorry, got behind here. So number one, we can follow Paul's example when it comes to his beliefs. Number two, we can follow Paul's example when it comes to his desires. Number three, we can follow Paul's example when it comes to his direction. And finally, number four, put your shoes on. We're getting ready to go home. We can follow Paul's example when it comes to how we finished.
Amen.
Paul had many obstacles he had to overcome, but he finished his course. Paul stayed faithful to God through all his difficulties and was determined not to quit. Paul tells Timothy at the end of his ministry in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul finished the work God had called him to do. Letter A, he finished his fight. Why? He says, I have fought a good fight.
Amen.
Beloved, have you fought a good fight? But David, you know what? Then let's get up off the canvas, and let's keep going. We're in a spiritual battle, and we must be strong in the Lord and in His power. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." We know that letter B, Paul ran his course. He said, "What I have finished my course." 1 Corinthians 9, know ye not that they which run in a race all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it attain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so I fight, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it in subjection. Least that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul was not a castaway. He finished strong.
Amen.
Beloved, you can finish strong too. Tammy, you've been teaching junior church for 600 years, give or take. Give or take. Guess what, Tammy? Keep on teaching. Keep on telling those little kids. They're listening. You may not think they are, but they are. They are. You know how many doors I've knocked on? And they'll say, Harvest Temple, did you have a little lady with gray hair? I'm like, Mrs. Lewis. Yeah, I used to come on that bus. Some of them say, I still remember. Brother Tooley came because of the bus ministry. Pam Cannon came because of the bus ministry. You don't know. He kept the faith. I have kept the faith. You may say, David, I can't get around like I used to. Would you pray for me then? Make it that your prayer. I'm going to pray for Brother Wyrick. I'm going to pray for Pastor Holmes. I'm going to pray for Brother Charles. I'm going to pray for the pastoral staff. I'm going to pray for them. I'm telling you, sometimes the hours that I'm not complaining, they get long. And they get heavy.
Yes, sir.
You pray for us. You pray for Pastor Belcher. Pray for the deacon board. Pray for us. Make that your ministry. I'm going to set some time aside where I specifically, fervently pray. Hebrews 12 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who was for the joy that set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Many start living for God, but often they drop out or fall out. I don't want to be one of those people. I want to be a finisher. Don't you want to finish?
Amen.
We can follow Paul's example when it comes to finishing the race. Missions conference starts in a week and a half. Let's already say, Lord, stretch me, use me. Tell me what you want me to do. Excuse me. You know, we have other examples of people that finished a race well. I think of Guy Tooley. He attended every week, faithfully, served. And he served to the end. Where was Brother Tooley weeks before his death? Right back there sitting. Till he physically couldn't do the stuff he used to do before. 91 years old. I think of Mike Neisler. Man, I miss him. He attended church faithfully. He served faithfully. He taught Sunday school 2 days before he died. Where was Mike? In church.
Amen.
In church. They took him to the hospital. I think maybe the way home. That Sunday morning, right in that time. What was he doing? Finishing the race. Finishing the race. I think of Corby Blanton. Attended church faithfully. I miss Corby so bad. Whew, what a man of God he was. He was so humble. So humble. He served faithfully to the very end. He preached RU Friday night. And he died Saturday morning of a massive heart attack. Where was Corby hours before? He was finishing the race. I'm sure there's times Corby didn't want to be there. He said, I want to finish. I want to finish strong. I think of Benita Sharp. Attended church faithfully, served faithfully until the very end. She was at church on Sunday. Died Monday afternoon. Where was Benita hours before her death? She was in church. What did Benita want to do? She wanted to finish strong. Where were they weeks, days, hours before their deaths? Finishing strong. Beloved, serving their Savior, attending church. Paul said in Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Will you finish God's course for your life? None of us know when our race will be over. So what? Run the race. Beloved, if this week were to be your last week, could you say, I've ran the race to the very end? Not in my power, but in God's power. Remember, we can follow Paul's example when it comes to his beliefs. Number two, we can follow Paul's example when it comes to his desires. Number three, we can follow Paul's examples when it comes to his direction. And number four, we can follow Paul's examples when it comes to how he finished. I'm preaching at myself tonight, beloved. Man, I want to finish that race. I want to be faithful.